So I don't know if you can predict presidential futures. How about that? I don't know how much you can do that.
Here we go. All right, let me strap in my seatbelt for this.
So this is insane.
When Drake call you talking trash to my girl, you got to come on the radio and talk about why you supporting your candidate. I don't know what you're thinking about. So it's okay. I'm all right with it.
That's the G-rated version.
Right.
But I always ask, I'm like, you know what? I trust our mayor. There's a reason. Mm-hmm. There's a reason. You don't have to give us a reason. We appreciate you coming on.
Yeah.
But I have to ask about Bloomberg. You endorsed them before this debate. How did you feel before or after this debate?
Well, you got to realize that many of those candidates, they've been on a stage for a year debating each other. They know each other's style. They know what the attack is going to be. They know all of that. And so it was different. He hadn't debated in 11 years. And so it's different getting up there. Now you're on prime time. Everybody's watching you. Everybody's attacking you. And you have to come up with, you know, a response. But at the end of the day, it's not about, and I think that we have to be cautious as Democrats across the board, that this is not about fighting each other. This truly is about trying to defeat a president. And what we tend to do is eat our own. And when you say, okay, well, why is it that, what is it that you see? What I see is the fact that we are looking at what we have as presidential candidates and we're arguing about minor things.
Mm-hmm.
Minor things when it comes down to the fact that at this point in time, when President Obama was there, for the last 2 years, he wasn't allowed to appoint any federal judges, right? And so when President Trump came in, when your current president came in, he started appointing judges. One in four judges, federal judges, have been appointed by President Trump. Mm. When you think about over 187 federal judges, they're there for life. They don't run for re-election. Mm. They're there for life. People don't understand where the laws are enforced, and what happens on a daily basis happens in the judiciary. Mm. So if the legislature makes a law and we challenge it and say, oh, well, I don't think that that's constitutional. Mm. So you go before a judge. If those judges have a completely right-leaning view, conservative view, and their mindset is on that, the way that they rule is based upon that. Mm. So let's not forget from whence we came, right? So at one point in time, segregation was legal. Plessy versus Ferguson was the case. Mm-hmm. The case went all the way to the Supreme Court. So when these states make these rules and they make these laws and people challenge them, they go through this process and then they go up to the Supreme Court, who ultimately rules. The reason why people talk about Ruth Bader Ginsburg and making sure that she stays alive,
healthy,
right?
Yes, for the next 9 to 10 months,
is because there are several cases that truly affect people of color that we're not paying attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, there are 3 affirmative action cases being heard by the Supreme Court today. Well, this cycle, not necessarily today, but these issues that affect schools, getting into school, affect how schools provide financial aid, affect how we do things in government. The reason why it is so important that we not lose sight of what the ultimate goal is because this is a long-term goal for them. We're looking at this and we're getting so caught up on these emotions of, oh, well, you know, you did this, you did that, you said that. All of us.
Mm-hmm.
There's not one person that I know that does not have a past, that doesn't have something that they might have said, that they might have did, that they're not necessarily proud of.
Mm-hmm.
But can you step up and say, you know what? The way I viewed that at that point in time was this way, and I was wrong, and I've learned from it. And now going forward, I'm going to take counsel. I'm going to listen. I'm going to understand and be better because of it. I know that there are many things as mayor I had to do that for, right? And so I want us to be clear about what is happening in this country because we will not realize what is truly happening until it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
When I went down to the Congressional Black Caucus and they had the state of emergency, they were not just talking about what's happening with federal judges. They're talking about what's happening with voter rights and all those things. When you think about when the federal government decided that, okay, we're going to pass the 19th Amendment and everybody can vote, what happened? In different states, they instituted Jim Crow laws, right? Mm-hmm. Jim Crow laws that said, hey, listen, if you are, yeah, you can vote, but you have to pass this test. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to read. You have to be able to do this. And so those types of laws, those types of things come in. And what I am saying is that it is larger than what we see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is something that is happening across this country that is affecting the very essence of our democracy. Mm-hmm. And at this point in time, it is more important for us to be able to defeat Donald Trump than it is for us to be able to defeat each other.
Well,
right?
you know, it's interesting. I saw a bit of the debate, and I know they went in Bloomberg for Stop and Frisk and all the other stuff, but it seemed like there was also a theme of, because he's a millionaire, we don't want a millionaire. And I guess there's no possibility of growth through anything that has ever happened in life. So we are in a, and what's interesting is we are in a time frame where, here's where you messed up. Remember this date 15 years ago? Here's where you messed up. You messed up 5 years ago. And bringing that up as far as what have you done since then to learn from it, to your point, what has happened since then to change this individual, and are they the best person for the job?
You can talk about the crime bill that happened in the 1990s that put many African-American and Latino, Black and brown people behind bars. Mm-hmm. Happened. You see the effects of those, of that crime bill in our communities, in our neighborhoods today, right? And because hindsight is 2020, when you're looking back, you can see all the things that you've done wrong,
right,
or all the things that you've done right. And so at the same time that you may have made these decisions and these challenges for whatever reason, and I'm not condoning Stop and Frisk. I'm not, because Stop and Frisk was wrong. Mm-hmm. We did it here. We called it zero tolerance, right?
Mm-hmm.
At that point in time, where an entire community was criminalized, right? But and if you think about the fact of, there are decisions like, say, for example, even the red light cameras, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When the red light cameras were put in, okay, there were a good reason why the city put them in. We thought that there were a good reason. But when we recognized that there was something going on,
right,
that people in certain neighborhoods had challenges, that there was something going on, they couldn't pay the bill, they were losing their licenses, they were racking up these bills, what did we do?
Got rid of him.
We stopped it.
Yep.
And so what I'm saying is that, can you learn from the mistakes?
Right.
And I believe that he has, and I believe all of them have. Learn from the challenges that they, and the mistakes that they have made. But most important for us today is to recognize that this is not about who's on that stage that we can tear down and who is supporting who that we can take off their head, but about the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
The very essence of our democracy is being challenged. When you look at what's happening with the federal court system, when you look at what's happening, just happened with the Senate and the impeachment hearings and all of those things, the democracy as we know it will not be what it is today for me and for you, for our children. Because as I said, if these affirmative action cases go through, where I was able to go to college and they were able to, you know, not necessarily say, okay, well, you know, that we set aside these things, but we're gonna level the playing field.
Mm-hmm.
They leveled the playing field so that we would be able to go to college. Now, come 5-6 years from now, if they change these rules, then it's going to get worse for our children.
Mm.
So we're looking at right now, I'm looking at tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, and the fact that I want my great-great-grandchildren to be able to know that when it was time to stand up for what was right, we did so.
Coming up in a matter of moments, we'll talk a little bit about Brockport, because you mentioned college. And I thought to myself, you know, last time we were here, we were talking with Dr. Cephas Archie and that whole situation, which has not really been cleared up in the last month or so. It's actually led to more questions.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting about the system itself not allowing change. There needs to be change within the system, admissions at different positions, and diversity in most positions going forward, so that when there is an opportunity for admission, that there is multiple people looking at students from multiple backgrounds, giving them all an equal opportunity for a higher education. Last time we were in this very fine radio show, maybe you came in from memory lane in between then, did you? I can't remember. My days went together.
I can't remember.
Yeah, it was a couple Mondays ago. We had Dr. Cephas Archie in. And that conversation is what it is. You can listen to the podcast. It's online at WDKX.com. Since then, Broadport, you have sent a letter to the Chancellor, SUNY. I believe Vincent Felder, who's a part of the Monroe County Ledge, he sent a letter as well, alumni, just as I. When we talk a bit about diversity and having more representation, whether it's through the city of Rochester or a municipality or school going forward, what does that look like? Because it seems as if you bring it up, Vince will bring it up, people will bring it up, and then it doesn't get implemented. Like, that's got to be very frustrating when you're having a conversation over and over about diversity, and then you go into a luncheon or you go to a different place and there isn't much diversity that's changed.
So I think that what is most important is that what Dr. Archie said when he was here, you have to be intentional. That, you know, diversity just doesn't happen because people are more comfortable with who they're more comfortable with. And at the end of the day, you have to be very intentional and say that it matters to me to make sure that my table is diverse. And if you're not intentional about that, if you sit there, if anybody sits there in that room and they don't see a diverse set of people, whether that's women, whether that's people in the LGBTQ community, whether that's black or brown people, or you don't see that, then you have to take an introspective look and say, why? Why is this table that I'm at not diverse? And, you know, I often go back to when I think about, and I talked to former Mayor Johnson about this, when, you know, he was mayor from 1993 to 2005. And he talked about the fact that in many other rooms, he was the only person of color. It is now 2020. In many of the rooms that I walk into, I am the only person of color. And people think that it's okay. And I shouldn't be the only one sitting at that table raising this as an issue. We have a country that's changing completely. It's changing completely. It's going to be a majority people of color country. We have a city that's already a majority people of color city. It's a diverse city. I don't have a problem with finding qualified people to actually run departments. You see my table, you see my senior management team, you see a diverse set of folks around the table. And I talked to the MBA students from the U of R yesterday, their Black Caucus. And I said, you want people to have diverse perspectives. You want them to be able to, because they see things from a different frame of reference that you do. The way I grew up is completely different than the way Ray might have grown up, the way you might have grown up, and to have diverse thought, diverse processes, and be able to move an entire community because it all matters. We all matter at the end of the day when it comes down to how we need to move our community forward. We can't do it separate and distinct. But if the table excludes people purposefully, right, then you have to call it out. And, you know, Vince Felder being the minority leader, and an alumni of SUNY Brockport, and you see all the things that happen in that situation. First, they tried to get him to quit. I'm going to put you in the basement. I'm going to move you from your office. I'm going to put you in the basement among with the dust and everything else. Now, okay, you don't quit. Now I'm going to demote you. Now, if you won't accept the demotion, so I'm going to figure out a reason to fire you. Now, after I fire you, then I'm going to have my police chief investigate you. You know, so, I mean, all of it, amongst all the other issues, it just is not right. We have to do something about it when we see it. Because if we accept it, it becomes acceptable. When you see something and you don't do anything about it, then you say, oh, well, you know, oh, it's all right. It's all right. They think that it is okay. It is not okay to have a table in this day and age that does not include a diverse set of people. They're intentionally excluded if they're not included. And if you're not at the table, believe me, you're on the menu. And for years, And even to this day, we talk about challenges in our community. We talk about other issues. When we look at it, ask the question. Mm. You know, instead of, and that's just for anybody.
Yeah.
Democrats, Republicans, whatever. When you look at it and you ask the question, how many people are on your staff that are diverse? If they have 20 people and they only have one person that's Black or Latino or, you know, then that's a problem. Mm. I don't, when we look at what we do in our, in the city of Rochester, and we're being very intentional about taking a look at ourselves with the Racial Equity and Leadership Initiative that is being jointly led by myself and Vice President Lightfoot.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at really our, throughout the organization,
mm-hmm.
are we diverse? Are we including different perspectives? And if we're not, how can we?
Yeah. Well, the internal question would be, why not? Because that was an internal question. But somebody's got to ask themselves that question. And then two, how do we make this more diverse?
Well,
how
what
do we
are you listen? Afraid of?
That's the only question. That's why wouldn't you want to do what Mayor Lovely Warren's talking about? What stops you from doing it? That's only the question they can answer.
Mm, absolutely. It's interesting because recently someone interviewed that has a PhD
mm-hmm.
interviewed for a position in another government,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was offered lowly, $60,000 salary
mm-hmm.
that has a PhD, has more degrees than anybody in the room,
yeah.
right? And that's what I'm talking about. It, when it comes down to us
mm-hmm.
and people of color, since the beginning of time, we had to fight twice as hard. We had to work twice as hard. We have to get as many degrees. We have all of those things. We've done everything that we can to break into the norm. And even when you do that, they say, you're still not good enough.
Yeah.
That is wrong. And we have to, for our children's sake, call it out.
I can't understand why the network is still closed. I can't understand it. It's one of those things where, you know, you kind of wonder, why is the network still closed in certain places? It just makes you wonder. WDKX, Wake Up Club Water Cooler. Thank you for making this part of your day.